Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast with NBA shooting coach Dave Love and your host, Matt Robertson. Exploring the cutting edge of evidence-based shooting development in basketball today. From shooting form to skill acquisition to shot metrics. This is the Coach Dave Love Podcast.
Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Robertson, and with me as always, NBA shooting coach Dave Love. What's going on today, Dave?
Matt, I wish that people could see just before we start recording, because you go into the non-alcoholic version of Ron Burgundy just before going on air, and it cracks me out. It cracks me up every time, but I'm well. How are you?
The human torch was denied a bank loan. Okay. No, I'm great, man. I'm great. It's a beautiful day up here in Moncton, New Brunswick Springs here. Kid slept through the night four nights in a row. We're on fire right now.
Nice. I'd love to hear it.
You told me earlier today that you had some really cool experiences the last couple of days. Can you please tell me about those? Because I'm dying to hear.
Yeah, it's just been like one of those weeks where like everything that you kind of have been working towards falls into place for a short period of time. Like we all go through highs and lows, and I'm riding a little bit of a high. And so I had an agent friend that I had I've been connected to for a number of years reach out about, can we get you to a certain location to work with a couple of guys for a couple of days? Then had a GM of a team that I used to work for, so just say like, hey, can we get, we just need like a few days. Are you able to step in? Then got a call from an assistant coach with an NBA team that I'm not affiliated with who wanted to talk shooting and just get my opinions on stuff. Then later that day, talked to one of the lead assistants at a mid-major college that's always in the tournament. And then a young coach slash trainer reached out, and we got on a 45-minute call where he just said wonderful things about the podcast and how great it's been. And all of that kind of happened in like 48 hours where I'm like, okay, all this stuff that I've been working towards, because I set the goal during COVID of I want to be the shooting coach that people will hire even if they already have their own shooting coach. This was just a big step towards feeling like, oh, I'm getting there. So that was really, really nice and reassuring.
That is all so freaking exciting. And I love that you said everything you've been working towards. And there's one fun little data project you neglected to mention there, which is also kind of moving along as well. Like, buddy, things are happening. I'm so excited for you. It's always an adventure to see where you're going to be next. And I'm really excited for you.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for being a part of this. Like the conversation yesterday about the podcast was really reassuring to me, where I thought like, oh, what we, you and I, hope to put out from this podcast is exactly what some people are receiving. And that's all I need to hear. If that one person is valuable for them, then that's great. So I'm going to do a quick thing. I'm just going to ask people, we work hard to put this out and put a lot of effort into it to make it tangible and valuable. If you feel like that is true and it has been valuable to you, the ways that you could help us is just share something on social media, like go into whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on. There's usually a share button for that episode, and share it to Twitter, share it to Instagram, that particular podcast, and encourage people to listen. Or we've never done this. We've never asked for this one, but apparently like getting reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, if you go and review the podcast, give us a nice rating and say a nice thing, that would apparently go a long ways towards us like sharing it with more people. And we're growing pretty organically, as you and I've talked about many times, and I'm thrilled with that. But yeah, if we can help more people faster, that's even better.
I don't know how you feel about, I don't know how your Irish rock love and joy is at, but Van Morrison said there would be days, Mama said there'd be days like this where all the pieces of the puzzle fall in place. You know, it's a good little run here. And if you do have a 3.5-star review where you wish the voice of the people was a little deeper or a little funnier, like just please pass that along to me privately and I can work on that. But we do appreciate the feedback. When I bump into people who have listened to the pod, we do get really excited when people are excited about this. So Dave, keep doing what you're doing. I really enjoy the time and I hope to continue enjoying the time. This is a really great thing.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it too, and so it's great that people are getting what we wanted them to get out of it. So that's awesome.
I love it. Continues to be a joy. And speaking of continues to be a joy, for all the Coach Dave Loveheads out there, he does indeed have his Ethernet cable plugged in today. And if you don't get that reference, go back and listen to the last episode, because we do owe you as the listener, as the dozens of listeners, we do owe you something. Dave, we owe them a talk about differential learning when it comes to flat shots and that kind of thing. Can we spend 5 minutes on that topic?
Absolutely. So differential learning is a tool that I'll use, especially like I'm most comfortable with using it as a tool in this exact setting, like the flat shots that we got cut off of talking about in the previous episode. So differential learning is really exploring the outer edges of the sandbox, is the way that I continually phrase it, where most people have their habits have positioned them in a certain corner of the sandbox, and they don't have as much wiggle room in all directions. They have wiggle room in some directions, but not in others. Where like a great example would be, if you have a flat shot, you don't have wiggle room for your shot to be flatter. Whereas if you have good arc, you have wiggle room for your shot to go a little higher or be a little flatter. Both those will work out. If your shot is flat, then you've got no wiggle room on that side. And so we need to be able to get you to explore the outer edges of that sandbox so that you can figure out where the true middle is that gives you the most wiggle room. And so it's something that I'll do with a player. If they have a flat shot, we'll start out and I'll play with it. This is something I did with one of the G League Ignite players on a regular basis. We would shoot free throws, and I would say to him, okay, your current arc is a 2 out of 5. We need it to be a 3 out of 5. So I want you to shoot your regular shot with your regular arc. Shoot a 2 for me right now, and it'll shoot that. And I'll say, okay, now shoot a 1. Mm-hmm. Shoot it even flatter. Okay, now give me a 4. Give me more than what you think the arc that we're going for is. Now give me a 5. Give me way more arc. Okay, go back to a 2. And I'm letting them explore what all corners of this area look like so that they can try and find where the true middle is. And we can do that with like foot position. Like it's not just shoot messy shots. It's explore how much is too much. What is truly in play here, and what isn't.
Is this, and again, this is another throwback, is this a way that we're using implicit learning? Or yeah. Are you kind of, yeah, because as they're adjusting, they're finding ways to do that within their habit set, within their body, right? That's really cool. That's very cool.
It would be really nice if I could just say to a player, oh, who's that? We got a cat sighting.
Yeah, he's about to cause trouble. I know it. I've been like watching him travel along the desk behind the computer.
What's your cat's? No, I'm just going to avoid this altogether. We're just going to keep going on. This is a minefield that I just do not need to negotiate. Where was I going to say? Oh, it would be really nice if I could just say to a player, and sometimes it's possible where you just say like, shoot a four, and like shoot it with a little higher arc, and they shoot what is actually a three, and then you're like, okay, keep shooting fours. And now I don't have to explicitly say, do it like this. Just like, give me a little more arc. And however their body generates that, if it works for them, it was the correct solution.
It's very cool. I was dealing with a teaching pro. So I'm an aspiring golfer, as all 35 to 70 year old, you know, men tend to get to at some point in their lives. And one of the pros said, one of the ways we can kind of modulate our swings a little bit. He's like, okay, how far do you hit your seven iron? And I'm really tall. I've got a really long circumference at my seven iron, 200 yards. And he said, okay, I also have strongly lofted clubs. The technology, they say farthest clubs ever. And they're really, it's just a six iron that's labeled with a seven. Right. But he said, okay, hit it 160 yards. He's like, let's hit this club 160 yards. Say, okay. He said, now take your eight iron and hit 160 yards. And now your nine iron hit 160 yards. And so forcing you to adjust in those moments without explicitly telling you this is an 80% weight on this shot or a 70%, you know, drawback in your swing or you're following through, whatever. He just said, hit this 160 yards and force me to adjust within that context. And actually super helpful for establishing swing path and different habits. Like, super transferable. I really like that. So differential learning.
Yeah. And again, like a lot of these things, the fella that I was talking to yesterday, the coach that I was talking to yesterday, now I lost my train of thought.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
What were we?
Differential learning. I talked about golf. You were talking about the trainer you were talking to yesterday.
I think that idea is completely gone. So let's get into the topic for today.
I apologize for nothing. Dave, you've already crushed one of the pillars of my development in form shooting. And not crushed it, but just really usher in a new way of thinking about it. Now it's time to tackle another pillar of my development in a way that I've trained, or when I was a player, I trained a ton. Dave, let's talk about spot shooting.
Yeah. So I haven't totally decided what the name of this episode is going to be, but the working title, as it's labeled in our notes and in the studio that we're in online, it's titled The Least Valuable Drill. And then there's going to be parentheses that will say that people do all the time and brackets. And then a new set of parentheses that say, and what you should do instead and parentheses. So the least valuable drill of all time, in my opinion, is one that gets done all the time at all levels, including the NBA, including by myself, especially 10 years ago, and even a little tiny bit now, but now very rarely, it's spots. So if you're not aware of what I mean by spots and spot shooting, we're talking about the most common example would be like, okay, go shoot 10 from the corner and then move to the wing and shoot 10 more from the wing. And then move to the top and shoot 10 more from the top, and then the other wing, and then the other corner. Or maybe you've got seven different spots, or maybe you've got nine spots, or maybe it's three makes, but it's just a poop ton, because we've decided that's going to be our curse word for the podcast. It's a poop ton of block practice, and we're missing out on almost all development opportunities. So are we clear on what spot shooting is?
Yes. And, you know, guys will often do one dribble pull-ups in both directions as part of spots. So like there's some random, no, Can you please tell me really quickly, for if we have any new listeners to this episode, give me like two sentences on block practice before we move on?
Yeah, block variable random practice is just like this super broad concept. And I was thinking today as I was driving home, I was thinking, like, how do I explain how broad this is? Block variable and random practice is kind of like saying there's black, there's colors, and there's white. And you go, oh, okay, so we're lumping all of colors, all the colors into one category of colors. That's sort of how broad block variable and random practice is. Block is doing the same thing over and over and over again. Variable practice is, or sorry, I'll go to the other end. Random practice is like a scrimmage where all kinds of different things are happening with multiple different skills, with a ton of variety. And variable practice is everything in between. And it's really kind of the most basic fundamental of skill acquisition that we at the very least need to be aware of. And then getting hopefully a lot more detail from there.
That was more than two sentences, but I'll accept your answer. There is a note that says, when is spot shooting valuable? So can you please just like, could you just give it a spot where it is valuable just for my own sanity, you know, for hundreds of hours of spot shooting?
The really nice thing about spot shooting is it really, it gives you good confidence going into a performance. So there's research being done that has been done by Fabian Ott, who's a goalkeeper coach in soccer. And we've connected, and I think his research is wonderful, and we're actually going to kind of do the shooting version of his research together, which I'm so excited about. But the one kind of area is just immediately before a game. So at the NBA level, like in that 15-minute window that players do from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock, 7 p.m. game. Every player will come out and they'll get 15 minutes on the court to just kind of warm up in a semi-private environment. And that's a great time just before a game to kind of get a feel for the basketball, get a feel for your shot, do the same thing over and over again, boost your confidence a little bit, and then go into the performance feeling like you're ready. Other than that, there's hardly any value in this kind of practice. And so I feel like we can do a lot better than that. And yet it's the thing that gets done most of the time.
So for every other coach listening to this, why isn't it valuable? Because again, even the team that I coach right now, you know, spots is a normal part of the week to week. I don't want to call it a grind, but the week to week planning is just like, all right, 10 minutes of spots and then come back and see me kind of thing.
Yeah, the biggest reason why it's not valuable is it's not game representative. And so you never do the same thing 5 times in a row or 10 times in a row. And so you're actually making your shot less adaptable because you're actually discouraging adaptability in the way that you're practicing, whereas the game forces adaptability. And so you're not getting that opportunity. And then the other one is, well, the two other would be that the fact that you are probably outside the challenge point for most players when you're doing this. And so for better shooters, the good shooters, this situation is far too easy for them. And so they're able to make an outrageously high percentage because the situation is so simple. So they're not being challenged. And then for the weaker shooters, it might be a little too difficult just based on the distance where maybe a weaker shooter is not ready for the spots to be done from the distance that you're doing them from. And so while the situation is really simple in that one way, that one layer is too hard for them. And it's very unlikely that this ultra basic drill is going to be the appropriate level of challenge for any player. And so we're just stagnating their learning.
There's two sides of the spectrum to this. And the first one, I think of a guy like Nick Stauskas in his pre-draft draft workouts. And I don't know if you've seen the video. Stauskas? Great video. Yeah. If you know, you know. But his pre-draft workout, they were talking about something like 87 or 93 out of 100 threes he made in spot shooting, which is absurd.
Right.
Turns out he wasn't a great NBA player. It's too bad. Canadian kid, whatever, tough, you know, for whatever reason, didn't work out for him. However, not a good measuring stick for these prospects that are great shooters from a standstill, because they make an outrageous number. And on the flip side, I think about the random, you know, as coaches, sometimes we try to gamify practice to make it fun, and we'll split up teams and do 3-point shootouts from spots as a group. And the post player that's like, I literally never shoot outside 11 feet. It is forced to shoot this terrible, you know, 18 and a half footer from the corner that is never close, and only hurts their little team in that game. You're right, there are two ends of the spectrum. It is too challenging for some of the weaker shooters, and it is too easy for some of the better shooters. You're absolutely right. That hurts my brain. Go ahead. Sorry.
And then like the example that you gave, and let's go through some examples a little bit later of like how people do block practice and spot shooting, and how they can maybe do it differently. The one that you gave where it's like white at this and black at that end, and we're going like first team to make whatever the stupid challenge is, it's mindless repetition. Mm-hmm. There's no accountability to a habit. There's no awareness of anything other than the basket, which it might sound like it's good, but when you think about all the things you have to be aware of in a game, shouldn't we practice being somewhat aware of those things in our practice as well? And then we've got like a knowledge of results in a situation where the results don't matter at all. Mm. Who the poop cares? Had to throw another version of the curse word in there. Who the poop cares if I really like this? This is going to become a thing. Who the poop cares if the white team or the black team wins that stupid game on Thursday afternoon? No, like we're pretending that we're developing players, and we're not. And so, this is going to, if I don't mention this now, I'm going to forget. The other thing is that we need to be aware of, like, having players line up for their turn at the spot is like the lowest level of spot shooting that we could pot. Like spot shooting, okay, I think it might be bad enough. But then when we say like, okay, everybody line up, we got four guys in the line, each waiting for their turn to shoot one shot from the spot and then mindlessly repeat another 45 seconds later, the time on task is horrendous. And like, why do I, and this happens at my camps in the first 5 minutes, where every once in a while in the first exercise, okay, everybody break off to your hoops and you're going to go do this one thing that I've asked you to do. I'll get kids who go, and we'll have eight kids at a hoop, and they will line up and wait for their turn. And I immediately run over to the hoop and say like, no, you can learn the same lesson standing over there and shoot a shot every 7 seconds, or trick yourself into thinking this is the only place at which learning can occur, and you only get to learn every 45 seconds when it's your turn to learn. Like that drives me insane.
So what you're kind of asking us to do, and it leads me to another thought. My first year pro, 8 games in, my coach got fired. And our assistant coach, who I know really well, is a local guy, came in and ran the practice. And he's like, the boys just need a flow, just busy work. And at the time, I didn't really understand what that meant. I was like, oh, busy work. That was a fun practice. We're moving. We're going, you know, like busy work, and that there was no mental engagement whatsoever. We're just doing drills that keep us moving, keep the time flowing. And at the time, to be fair, we needed that. It was a complete mess. But this is one of those things that really, I think that I would have called spot shooting decent development work or at least like we're getting better today, when really it is kind of busy work. It hurts my heart that you've said that today.
It's a great phrase for, and I use a similar phrase, or it might actually be that exact phrase, that, you know, we're pretending that we're developing right now. And we're kind of asking the drill, this ultra basic, super simple drill, to hopefully teach lessons to players that are, that they'll apply into a very, very difficult situation. But we're also not going to bring any attention to anything. Like we're expecting this drill of stand here and do this to teach something that a player is going to use in an environment like a basketball game.
When you put it that way, again, all of this feels so begrudging for me, because you're kind of attacking, you know, but you're not attacking it. You're just laying it out. And when you put it like that, it's like when you asked me in the last episode or two or three episodes ago, when we're talking about building an off-season shooting program. And I was like, well, when guys go home in like 4 weeks, they can start with. And you were like, well, what are they doing for the next 4 weeks? And I went, oh, that's a great question. You know what I mean? It's just, it's such a simple thing that you just said to me that reframed it for me. It's like, oh, you're expecting this to be some kind of game representative task. Silence on my end. You know, it's not.
Yeah. What are you teaching players in that moment? We're teaching them to shoot the same shot every time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can you be more specific? Nope. Because the drill is, we're just teaching them to shoot the same shot every time. Well, what happens when in the game they don't get the same shot every single time? Yeah, but still, that's kind of how if we were to have that conversation, that's kind of how that goes. And I had a coach on Twitter who I said something years ago about this, that there's little to no value in spot shooting. And he said, I was careful about how I phrased it, little to no value in spot shooting for player development. And he said, oh, I can think of dozens of the reasons why spots are fantastic. I said, if that's true, then I would bet most of them have nothing to do with development.
Mm.
And I believe that. And so, yeah. How do you want to move on now? Should we take a little break?
I just need to process for one more second. Okay. So I do, again, so not completely valueless, but when we, in the specific context of player development, that does resonate, because shooting those shots for somebody who has the green light in the game is confidence building. That is true. In performance mode, that is true. I can see the value there. And again, thinking of my own experience here as a player, mostly, it is confidence building when that exact scenario happens. Because often, actually, one of the funniest things about spot shooting, when you think about it, is that the pass is coming from directly under the hoop. So if we're talking about game representativeness, in that perfect moment where there's an offensive rebound and you get that perfect kick to the 45 and that shooter's like, yes, and you knock down that shot, it feels so comfortable because you've practiced it a million times. And that's the only time that is exactly game representative.
Yeah. Yeah. That 1/10 of the percent of the time, that's when it hits the nail on the head. And then like, even for the confidence part, it's confidence pre-game. It's not even long-term confidence, because if I say to you, if I have a player and they're shooting, okay, shoot 10 spots from the wing over, and they make 8 of them and they feel really confident because of that setting, then what's going to happen when they go 0-for-3? In the next game, that confidence is shattered because they're now wondering, why can I do it in practice, but I can't do it in a game? Well, it's because your practice is so non-game representative. Your practice is outside of your challenge point. Your practice is garbage. And then you're hoping that it's going to build your confidence so you become a better shooter. Like, sorry, I'm getting a little fired up.
I like fired up, Dave. I am going to go cry for like 30 seconds. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about how we can take spots and actually make it better.
Hey there, basketball fans. I'm NBA shooting coach Dave Love, and I've got exciting news just for you. Introducing my exclusive free basketball shooting newsletter. It's packed with insights and techniques straight from the hardwood. Have you ever wondered how NBA players improve their shots? Or how you could get to the next level, whether you're a college player, a coach, or a budding youth player? My newsletter brings all this and more directly to your inbox. Each edition is a deep dive into the world of basketball shooting. I'll share some of the tips and ideas that I use with my NBA clients, tailored for every level of the game. But wait, there's more. Subscribers receive exclusive monthly discounts on my online products. From training videos to personalized coaching sessions, you'll get it all for a fraction of the price. And the best part of all, it's absolutely free to join. So what are you waiting for? Elevate your game and join a community of passionate players and coaches from around the globe. Signing up is easy. Just visit CoachDaveLove.com.
And welcome back. All right, I've mourned. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to grow. Coach Dave, oh man, I hesitate to do this. This is a hard situation. I'm going to put 24 up on the thought clock. This is an ATO, not for timeout. Do it all over again. Give me the concise version of what we just talked about in the last segment.
Yeah, spot shooting is block practice where you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. Because it's so block practice, it doesn't transfer to a game. And so we want to, and it is outside the challenge point for most of the people doing it. So it really offers no value in player development. The only value that it really offers is just immediately pre-game so that a player can feel good going into their performance.
Oh, you crushed it. I will.
That was one of my best ATOs that I've ever, like, that. I even halfway through, I was going like, Dave, you're really doing well here. Just keep this train going. In my head, I was really happy with that.
You were like, don't say no hitter. Don't say no hitter. But I'm throwing a no hitter right now. That was awesome. I will retweet it with my new Twitter account. I won't be happy about it, but you are the platform. You are the, I can't even think of the word right now. I'm so rattled. Okay, Dave, you're the person that I want to listen to when it comes to these things, and make me a better coach today. So let's talk about spot shooting.
Yeah. Let's figure out, like, if you need to do it, if you want to keep doing it, how can we make subtle changes to your spot shooting just to give hopefully a little bit more value to it? And I think it starts with make sure that you identify the habit, especially for your weaker shooters. Like, what habit are we going to be working to execute better that will help you make more shots in a game? Start with that question, like start with that conversation to say, like, if we're going to do spot shooting, at the very least, everybody land on 2 feet at the end of the shot. Mm. And everybody start from a balanced, stable position. If you're going to do it, at least start with that. That you want me to keep going?
I was going to say, that's the first level. And I was like, okay, I've kind of done that. Okay, we've made it a little better. Okay. Yeah, please keep going.
So then the next will, okay, if we've identified a habit, we still just want to do spots, then at least move differently into the spots and say, okay, that I want this one. Like, I always, when I picture spots, I always start in the corner. Or whatever, because I think that's how most people do it. And so if we're in the corner, then all right, a corner three, how do we get there in a game? Well, we can drift where we start at the break and we kind of slide to the corner. So let's do that once. And then on the next rep, let's do more of a sprint and turn from the break into the corner. And then on the next one, let's start kind of in the short corner in the sort of dunker spot area, and let's sprint out and turn. And then on the next rep, let's go with a backpedal out from the short corner. And now we're getting shots from the same spots. And they do the same thing if you're on the gun or the Dr. Dish, just feeding you to the same spot over and over and over again. Do the same thing. Like, just add, even if it's just a step of movement, move in a different way into each shot. That would be the second thing that I would add.
So taking a look at whatever the structure of the offense you're running is as a player, as a coach, and emulating the way you're getting to those spots. What is the Dr. Dish, out of curiosity? I don't know what that is.
They just a competitor for the gun. I think they've probably taken over the market. I would guess they have a bigger market share, but that's, I'm not searching for a plug or anything.
No, that's okay. But, not a sponsor.
Yeah, but I think the Dr. Dish has become more out there than the gun has.
Great name.
Old people like you and I know the gun.
That's right. Old people like us.
Young kids. They know the kids know. Yeah.
Okay, so we're moving in a different way. Can you give, are there more sections for this? Like just simple movement patterns into, or just simple things we can do into these spots?
Yeah. So then your next layer is going to be like, okay, think of a situation, and that we've kind of already done this, but now we're going to kind of step on the gas a little bit. Like think of this spot and think of the game situations that occur in that spot, and then dig one more layer deep to say, okay, what kind of decision does a player make while in this game situation from this spot? So if we're lifting out of the corner, like we've got wide pin down and we're lifting out of the corner, then okay, my read could be as simple as, am I open? In which case I'm going to shoot it. Or is this contested and I've either got to pass back to the coach and relocate, or I've got to drive it and kick and find it and relocate. Like I always just start with, give me an either or decision. So, and I'll put it back on the player. Like, hey, if you were lifting out of the corner, what's the read that you have to make? And they'll, if they haven't worked with me before, usually hum and haw. And then I'll say, okay, as simple as like open and shoot it, or contested and I got a kick. Okay, yeah. And then we can usually get into, okay, if it's off that pin down, if the defender's trailing, I'm going to curl. And if they go underneath, I'm going to flare, shoot, hide behind. And so now we've got the player's brain has to be turned on, and they're starting to see, and they're having to be aware of the game context. And the challenge is you just now need multiple people to be able to, you got to have a passer, you've got to have the shooter, you've got to have a defender, and ideally we've got a screen setter. But it, for most of the context that we're talking about, like a team practice, we've got those people. Mm-hmm. So just get them out of the line and get into a rotation of, okay, you're going to set the screen. Then the screener becomes a shooter. The shooter becomes a passer. The passer becomes a rebounder, blah, blah, blah. And at least we're still not getting a lot of time on task, but at least we're getting a much more game representative situation.
And it doesn't need to be extravagant or super what you would call game representative. When we worked out together with the G League Ignite player in the summertime, you put a chair as a screener and you said, okay, Matt, I want you to either go under the screen or chase around the screen. And really that means moving three steps in one direction or three steps in the other as a defender, right? Not that, I'm not all that mobile anymore, you know? So, but that is a super simple way, and you made the drill interesting and game representative and turn their brains on. That is awesome.
So then if you don't have enough player where it's you and the player, like if you're a trainer doing an individual, and I'm in that situation fairly often, it's a lot harder to do this because how do you represent the game when you've got, in my case, like 1.5 bodies? Like, I can't be the coach and the rebounder and the passer and the defender all in this one situation, especially at almost 50 years old with a broken back.
Oh, so you're the half body.
Yeah, I'm the half. They're okay. The full body.
Yeah. Okay. Just.
And so in that kind of setting, like I'll start off, I won't even tell them that we're not doing spots. I'll just say, okay, we're at the corner. Here's the habit that we're working on. And I'll give them the first two passes and they'll just be so conditioned. They're probably not even aware that they're thinking, oh, we're doing spots. But then on the third rep, I'll cut and just like start screaming, hit me, like, and often there's so much in robot mode that they shoot it anyways. And so then I'll teach them, hey, when I cut like that, even though it's happening at the speed of evolution, I want you to read that, make a pass. If I'm open, guess what? I am. Nobody else is here. And then relocate to a different spot on the floor. And they go, okay, perfect. And so now they have to be aware. Oh, shoot. I don't know when Dave's going to be cutting. And I'll just mix it in every five reps. And then at some point, I'll say, like, if I'm passing from the wing to the corner and every once in a while cutting, then I'll also mix in where instead of just making that pass, I'll bring the dribble back, like off my dribble back up towards the middle of the floor. They should be then lifting out of the corner. And so now they have to be aware of not just drifting, catch and shoot, shot. There might be a cutter. Ooh, and then now their brain is turned on. And we may get 60% of the shots occurring, or maybe even 80% of the shots occurring from the same spot on the floor, but with some of the challenges. And then I'll always try and have them moving into that situation so that it's never just stand in the corner. It's at the very least one step of movement, drift to the corner, make your read. Is Dave open? If Dave's open, you have to give him the ball. Like, Dave's so good. If he...
yeah, he's always half open, right?
If there's no defender, I'm almost always open. And that's the only time. So those are kind of the ways that I'll start to play with it.
So when the last break with you fired up, I want to fire you up one more time. Can you just one more time talk about the no lines thing? Just really quick in a team setting.
Yeah, get time on task. And so instead of having like, figure out how many people you need to make this the as game representative as it can be. Again, trying to get, keeping it simple where you need to get players in the challenge point. But then if hey, I need four players, good. Get four in one group, four in another group on a different hoop, four in another, and get them all time on task. And then don't predetermine the outcome. Don't say, I want you to do exactly this. I want you to come off exactly like this. I want you to right foot, left foot into it. Let them be athletes. Let them be problem solvers and give them guidance towards what the problem is and what the solution might be, rather than trying to tell them and predetermine for them. See, I didn't let you get me too fired up. I got a little heated, but manageable. I was simmering. That was it.
If you were wearing a quarter zip, it would have come down just a bit, right? But
I would fanned myself just ever so slightly, like a Georgian woman from the 30s.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey basketball fans, Coach Dave Love here with an exclusive offer just for you, my personalized video shot analysis. Imagine having an NBA shooting coach analyze your shooting form, just like I do for the pros. That's exactly what you'll get with my video shot analysis. Here's how it works. You send me a video of your shot and I'll break it down frame by frame. I'll pinpoint your strengths and identify the areas of improvement and give you tailored advice to take your shot to the next level. You'll receive a comprehensive analysis designed just for you. Whether you're a beginner or an aspiring pro, my feedback will help you shoot with confidence and precision. It isn't just feedback, it's a game changer. With my video shot analysis, you're not just practicing, you're evolving, and every single shot counts. Ready to transform your game? Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store to learn more and get started. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store and look for video shot analysis.
I do declare we're back. Coach Dave, this is an ATO. Coach Dave, put 24 on the thought clock. I'm so rattled. Dave, give me the what we talked about in the last segment. I'm so rattled.
I think the biggest thing is just like force players to make a read, force players to make a decision. The best way to do that is add a defender and put a constraint on the defender in some way. But don't allow players to go into robot mode with a predetermined outcome. Keep it simple if you need to with an either or decision, but give them something, a problem to solve.
Awesome. One of the things, just a quick note on this, when I was coaching, 16-year-olds and we're inserting ourselves into the drill, and this was as a much younger person where I'm still reasonably athletic, I'm going to tell them, and much like I'm going to tell the defender in these drills, I'm never going to block your shot. Even if I'm in your airspace and I have the ability to, be like the parent and the 10-year-old and get that stuff out of here, crass and all, get that poop out of here. I'm not going to do that because it's not helpful for anybody in the drill. But just to reiterate that, because as athletes, sometimes they get competitive and get over that screen, have an opportunity to block a shot, and that's not helpful for anybody.
Yeah, so I mentioned constraints. I'll play with constraints on defenders all the time where it's like, okay, defender, you have to play defense, but with your hands behind your back. Mm. So you're not able to block a shot. You can get into the player's physical space just any way that you normally would. You're just not allowed to block the shot. Or like a little fun creative one, as soon as the player goes into the shot, you have to touch the floor with your hand. Before you can contest. They're allowed to still contest, but I'm giving the shooter an extra half second in order to have more time to be aware of what I need them to do. So I'll layer this with form shooting all the time, and just by putting a constraint on the defender to give the shooter the more time to execute.
Okay, so Dave, we talk spots. Why it's the least valuable drill out there, hurts my heart. We talked about if you want to do spots, how you can make it better. But Dave, in your opinion, what should we be doing instead?
I think we need to, it starts by deciding what habit we're working on. I think we then need to create drills that resemble, in different ways, resemble game, but being aware of how much challenge can the player handle. And so it really depends on the phase of their shooting development that they're in. If they're in like a movement coordination phase, like they're relearning a new habit, then I'm going to try and find little drills that force them to explore closer to that optimal movement. And then as we start to move into the skill adaptability phase of form shooting, then I'm going to make adjustments and add constraints to the drills that sort of perturb the ideal shooting motion, that make it challenging them or make it challenging for them to do the ideal thing and have to solve little game-like problems. And so all of this just involves more effort as the coach to number one, understand these ideas and have some variety in the ideas and apply them into a game context rather than just, what should we do? Let's do spots. I hope the drill teaches you something, because I don't know what to teach.
I also want to reiterate that when you say form shooting, you're not talking about traditional slow shooting close to the hoop. But I do have two things that I want you to back the train up on just a little bit. Again, as the voice of the people, I'm going to exercise that right at this moment. Movement coordination phase. Can you give just a brief example of a player in a movement coordination phase and maybe how you've provided a drill for them that's trying to provide an optimal solution for them?
So movement coordination phase of periodization of skill training. We're being very aware of practicing as close to the new optimal habit as we possibly can. So this is what we should be doing when people think about traditional form shooting. Like, if we're going to do it, why are we doing that? We're doing it to get high accountability to a more optimal habit, because the habits that you currently have are holding you back. And then a lot of people do that, but without the accountability. And so there's just like, we're, as I've said many, many times throughout the podcast, we're just shooting slowly close to the rim.
When you say accountability, is that intrinsic, or is that you as the coach standing there saying, again, I know we talked about before, if it's 8 out of 10 times, it's a habit. If it's 1 out of 10 times, it's a mistake. Is that intrinsic, where the player is trying to be held accountable, or trying to hold themselves accountable, or you are holding the player accountable in this movement coordination phase?
Great question. Well, it's got to be the player.
Mm.
I don't do jack poop. Like, I don't.
So like,
as
bad.
Far as building like someone else's habit, no, it's not bad. It's amazing. I don't, as far as building someone else's habit, I don't do anything.
Yeah.
I don't do it. It's good. Now, it may appear that it's me dictating this, but that's really only the sales pitch and the teaching so that they start to buy in themselves. And that's when I know I've got a player, is when they start telling me what they're feeling and what they think they need to do and how they're going to solve that problem. And that when it's me talking, we're losing. When it's them talking, we're winning. And I mean that seriously.
So movement coordination phase is more towards the baseline beginning of learning a new habit or skill set. And adaptability phase is really anchoring and growing in that already locked in movement. Is that a fair
or is
it too simple?
Adding variability to that quote unquote ideal shooting motion, which is going to create the kind of problems that occur in a game, to force players how to solve that. We spend way too much time as coaches doing what we think is movement coordination, like traditional form shooting, of the perfect shot, and then never really teach kids, okay, now you can't do the perfect thing. You're dribble driving left, you can't bring the ball over onto the right side of your body. The defender's there. So how do you now get the ball from the left side of your body to your set point as close to the habits that we would like to have from the perfect cookie cutter, where it's in front of the right hip and we're lifting in a straight line? Yeah, that would be adorable if it were possible to do every single time. But now I've got another talented athlete on that side of my body. How do I solve this problem? How do I get as close to ideal and get as many of the habits as possible from the ideal situation into this less than perfect situation? That's kind of what a simple example of skill adaptability training looks like.
It is my greatest wish that for the listeners of this podcast who I am the voice of, for better, for worse, I apologize, that when I have those moments when I'm going, oh, like, and if you can't see if you're not watching the YouTube or the Spotify video, the nod and the sound, whatever, but you just really made it real for me there. That really resonated and gave me kind of a light bulb, the way that you worded that last one in the skill adaptability and variability phase. So it is honestly my greatest desire, outside of wanting to have fun with this with you, that people listening will find the value. And if you didn't already have that idea crystallized, that it would add some value for you as a coach. Dave, I know we are kind of getting close to our time cap here. I do want to get to a couple of case studies. Let's take one more quick break and then we'll get to it.
Hey there, basketball fans. Coach Dave Love here with an exciting opportunity to revolutionize your shooting game. Introducing my exclusive shot development systems, Pure Release, Consistency and Balance, and Fluidity and Arc. Each system is designed to target key aspects of your shooting technique, transforming you into a more effective player on the court. Pure Release focuses on perfecting your shot release. Consistency and Balance enhances your stability and accuracy, and Fluidity and Arc works on your ball path and trajectory of your shot. Find out the drills and progressions that I use with my NBA players to improve these important habits. Can't decide which one to choose? No worries, grab the bundle and get all three systems at a fantastic value. It's a complete package to elevate every part of your shooting game. And there's a special deal for all my podcast listeners. Use the promo code PODCAST20 at checkout to save 20% on any of the shot development systems. Don't miss this chance to train like the pros. Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store and take your first step towards shooting success. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store.
All right, welcome back. No longer a gimmick, only a shtick. Dave, it's an ATO, 24 on the thought clock. Give me what we talked about in the last segment.
Oh, man, I got to go back in my notes a little bit and just what do I want somebody to understand?
Officials counting down with 5 seconds.
Start with a habit. Think of a game situation that applies to that particular shooter. Come up with a drill that forces the habit that you think they need to have in that situation, and then learn to perturb the situation. I just love that word. Learn to complicate the situation so that they have to solve the problem and they're not always doing the perfect thing that never occurs in a game. They're learning how to get close to the perfect thing in game-like situations.
It perturbs me how good you're getting at this. Coach Dave, so to finish off the episode, let's do a couple of case studies. We have a little bit of time. So let's take my team, for example. We've got 14 guys. We've got two hoops. Give me some examples. How can I make this better instead of just me being lazy and saying spots for 10 minutes? What can I do?
Okay. Hopefully within the first 3 weeks of the season or shorter, if you're able to, you're identifying a habit for each player that they need to be working to get better. And if you don't know what the habit is, the one that will work for everybody, land on 2 feet at the end of the shot whenever possible. Don't make your shot needlessly more complicated by rotating your hips and kicking your foot out. Like, learn to become more balanced. Start with a habit. Then think of a game situation. And if we're going to go corner drift, like we're going to that corner, then take a player out of the lineup and say, you're the rebounder here. Okay. Then take another player out and say, you're going to be the defender, and give them a constraint where you're only allowed to contest one out of the 5 shot, but we don't know which 5. 4 you're going to leave open, but one of them you get to contest and try and block, and the shooter doesn't know which one. Take anybody that's left over and get them doing the same thing on another hoop. And then, if you can, add in a read where, okay, when that person contests, what's your option? What's your read? Maybe it's a pass back to the coach and a relocate to a different spot. But just do anything you can to make it a little bit more game representative, and then turn their brains on so that they're not in autopilot, just mindlessly shooting. What habit are we working on? How does this apply into a game situation? And then what else is going on the floor that I need to be aware of?
I'm not a creative coach in that way, but you laying out the framework of that gave me like 4 ideas of just little pieces you could add and whatever. So that's super valuable. Thank you. Even the landing on 2 feet has like 6 implications when you're talking about moving into the, so, okay. Thank you for that. That's awesome. That could be 10 minutes, not going to tangent. Give me another case where I'm a skills trainer and I've got 2 like really high level high school kids that I'm working with. So I have 2 athletes in the gym with me and 1 hoop. What can I do instead of spots?
take that same idea of spots and now say to like put take instead of alternating, you shoot, he shoots, and everybody's shooting an open shot. Just make the defender, make one of those people the defender, and handicap them in some way where it's okay, if the shooter's starting on the break and they're going to the corner, I want the defender to start two steps behind the break. So they're at a disadvantage and they can't go until the shooter goes. So the shooter gets a half second head start. The defender is already two steps behind. We should get a shot, and adjust those things so that like they're able to contest. What are we working on? We're working on shooting. So I want them shooting a whole bunch of shots here. It doesn't do us any good to like, okay, if there's a contest, I want you to rip through and I want you to dunk it on nobody. We're working on our shooting. So I want you to get a bunch of shots, but I want to create the level of challenge where the defender has a chance once in a while. And the shooter now has to be aware and has to read the situation and then give them the out that, okay, when they do get there, you're allowed to head fake, let them fly by. And you can have a ton of fun with this. Like you can make it. You get a point for a executing habit, right? You get a point for the defender gets a point for a block. Defender gets 2 points for a block. I want you to really go after every single one, but the shooter is allowed to head fake. And so now that like the defender's trying to block a shot, but the shooter knows like, okay, you really want to come after them? I'm allowed to get you up in the air in this, like, have fun playing with it and make it game-like, but know what habits you're working on when you're doing so.
Dave, I just got chills. You should make a career of this. You're good at this.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm thinking that I might.
It's all coming up, Dave, today. Dave, that's awesome. I think that's super valuable. And I think there's something in there for just about any level of coach to at least, even if you're doing this already, which if I'm being honest, you're probably not, but adding a simple wrinkle that just adds a little more engagement, Coach Dave, as always, an absolute delight. Can you please tell the people where they can find you?
CoachDaveLove.com. Sign up for my newsletter there. I'll send you a bunch of free information. And then on social media, Coach Dave Love on Instagram, Twitter. I'm starting to do social media less and investing. I like this format. This is fun. Recommend share the podcast. That would be my ask.
Don't step on my toes, Coach Dave. No, if you have questions or if you found today valuable, please reach out to Coach Dave or me at the unfortunate Twitter handle of Coach Matty Robb, where you can now find me for the first time ever. Really appreciate you tuning into the episode. Please give us feedback. Please like and subscribe. Tell your friends, share with a friend, players, coaches, trainers, whoever, if you think they can find value. And with the skill acquisition stuff we're talking about, it's not just basketball representative. I think there's value outside of that as well. And really enjoying the time. Thanks for coming out and have a great week. I need to work on my sign-offs. I just start telling people I love them at the end. I love you. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Coach Dave Love Podcast. To stay up to date with our future episodes, please remember to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to sign up for Coach Love's free shooting newsletter on CoachDaveLove.com and be sure to follow him on social media. You can find him at Coach Dave Love.